Wow, good morning, friends. That was good. I got the bass going today. I like that. Well, hey, I'm Pastor Sean. I'm so glad that you're here. If you're new visiting with us, welcome to Life Community Church in August. We do things a little different around here, but we're glad that you're here. And if I haven't had a chance to meet you in person yet, love to do that. And historically, as Pastor Crystal shared, our family ministry takes what we call a sabbatical or a break for the month of August, and it's to give our family ministry team leaders a chance to kind of reset and prep for what's coming in September and kind of that new season of life. And so we're so glad to have the kids in the room. And again, like if they're squirrely and you're getting anxious and stressful, you can hang out in the lobby or the nursery area or Life Littles area is open. So that's more so if it's just a relief to you. Right, you're not bothering anybody. We're used to that, especially in this kind of season. So if that is helpful for you to do that, we ask you to do that. The only thing we're asking maybe of you is just to keep your kiddos close, all right? So if you can help us just kind of keep them near you. I know sometimes they like to run around, but it'd just be helpful for us to stay close. And we're using films over these next couple of weeks to help us bridge this generational gap, right? We know we got kids in the room. I don't know if you can remember the first movie you ever went to, right, as a kid. If I grew up, and I've shared with you before, but like I wasn't allowed to go to movies when I was a kid. And so my first movie that I ever went to, my grandfather took me. And I think it was like Sleeping Beauty or something like that we went and saw. And I grew up in the mountains anyways, and we had this little tiny movie theater. Not until I kind of got older. So like a lot of times we talk about movies like that were like a part of your generation or my generation. And I have no idea what you're talking about because I haven't seen them. So we all grew up different, but movies is a big thing now, right? And you don't even have to go anywhere. You can just watch them from home, right? They all come basically direct to streaming now, and so they're a part of our lives. And we think we can use them to help us show a truth from God's word that can be found in the things that we watch. And one of the things I enjoy about an At the Movies series is it helps us to notice biblical principles and themes portrayed in the movies that we're watching, if we learn to do that. I don't know about you, but I kind of know about our culture that we're really good at noticing when things are wrong, right? Are you good at noticing when something is not right, when something's wrong? Right? We tend to not be as good about noticing when things are right and when things are good. We have to learn to do that. You see, and at their best, things like movies and music and various other art forms, they can help us experience deeper realities. They help us to contemplate the good and the beautiful and the lovely. And sometimes they confront us with the ugly. Sometimes they confront us with the evil, and they force us to deal with those things as well. See, sometimes we need a picture. Sometimes we need to feel it and to experience it, and art helps us to do that. I think this is why Jesus told so many stories. So if you know, like in the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, there's things called parables. And parables are basically stories that Jesus told to help us experience a deeper truth. And Jesus was an expert storyteller. In fact, we're still telling those stories 2,000 years later. I think he's pretty good at that. And so our hope is that for us to experience the scripture in maybe a fresh way and maybe develop eyes to see what is good and beautiful and true, even in the midst of the not so good, not so beautiful, not so true. And here's the kind of the truth of this whole thing is that no matter where we find truth, right, but all truth is God's truth. And I'm talking about capital T truth, right? This deeper realities of life and our existence, that no matter where we find it, it finds its source in God. Scriptures tell us that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. That when we experience those capital T truths, we trace those things back to who God is and what is true about God. And so that's why we're doing this today. We're going to explore some films and next week as well, and kind of looking for those capital T truths that we find in things like film. And we're doing Christmas in August because why not? Right? We're like, well, let's be a little bit different. It's not that there was a joke made this morning about, man, we must be desperate to find it in film if we got to go to Christmas films now to find truth, right? But now we're just having a little fun and an excuse to set up a Christmas tree and to serve some popcorn. But we're probably not going to talk about the things that we might normally talk about at Christmas, right? So you're not going to hear me talk about the manger, right? And you're not going to hear us talk about angels, you're playing bingo. And you're not going to maybe hear us talk about a tree, right? Or things like that. Are you guys got your bingo cards out? Some of you kids go, I'm just helping you out here. It's really all I'm doing. I'm just stalling, right, to help you because there are things in here I'm not going to say, right? What's another one? Santa. Oh, I might say Santa. I will say Santa a little bit later, right? So good luck filling those in. But the truth we're looking at today from Scripture is from 2 Corinthians 5:17. It's a common Scripture verse. If you've been around church for any amount of time, you probably know it. And it's what it says. It says, therefore, if anyone, right, anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come. The old is gone, the new is here. Anybody ever experienced that reality before? Anyone, right? If anyone is in Christ, right? The new creation has come, the old is gone, the new is here. Our bottom line today is that Jesus makes us into new people. Do I hear an amen? Amen. Right? Jesus makes us into new people. There is something that happens, right, in you when you give your life to Jesus. When you have an encounter with Jesus, you become a new creation. Your life is transformed and is transforming. You become a new person. More accurately, you become who you were created to be. Right, so we talk a lot about Ephesians 2:10 that says you are God's masterpiece created in Christ Jesus to do good works. You were created to be like Jesus. And that transformation is a little like, anybody go on vacation this summer? Kids, you go on vacation this summer, right? And so, like, you get ready to go on vacation and you get in the car to go on vacation. Are you on vacation at that point? Yes, right? You're on vacation, but have you arrived at vacation yet? No, right? Right? But if you've begun the journey, right? And so when it comes to our transformation in Christ, right, we are on a journey together. And it's a little like when you get in the car to go on vacation. You've started your journey, but you haven't arrived yet. When you meet Jesus, your life is changed, but you haven't arrived yet. Right? It's a journey of transformation. So in our movie today, we're going to be watching some clips from the movie called The Santa Claus. It was way back before some of you were born, 1994, I think it is, starring Tim Allen. And it's the story of Scott Calvin. And Scott Calvin is not so nice of a guy. He's kind of rude, kind of mean, pretty selfish. Anybody like Scott before, right? And he has this encounter with Santa Claus that literally transforms his life. That changes his life. And so we're going to be looking at kind of Scott's life and see how that relates to what Jesus does in us. So we're going to pick up the first scene here with Scott. He has this encounter with Santa Claus that begins to change his life. Take a look at the screen.
What's that? Oh, oh. Whoa, whoa. Whoa.
All right, you should just stay still.
Perfect.
You got him!
Charlie, stay where you are. Charlie, would you listen to me? Stay up there.
It is Santa. You killed him.
Did not. And he's not Santa.
Well, he was.
He's got some ID on him, I bet. Fella, if you can hear me, I'm just looking for identification. Once you figure out who you are, I'll give you a lift back to the mall. If something should happen to me, put on my suit. The reindeer will know what to do. Yeah, right.
Oh.
He's naked somewhere.
You can put on the suit like the car said,
no.
Are you?
No.
Come on, Dad, I want to go too.
Stop it, Charlie. We're not going anywhere.
You'd never do what I
would
do.
Would you please be quiet for a minute so I can figure this out?
Reindeer up on the roof. Santa suit laying on the ground.
I fell. Not my fault.
Reindeer on the roof. That is hard to explain.
It's the ladder.
Where the hell did this come from?
Look here, Dad. The Rosechuck Ladder Company.
Huh?
Out by the roof, there's a Rosechuck Ladder. Just like the poem.
Just like the poem? Charlie, come on down from there.
Charlie, get down from there!
Dad! You gotta see this!
Don't touch anything.
It's great!
I'm just gonna call the police. I'll carry the stuff up there. Let them deal with it, okay?
Whoa. This guy was huge.
All right. So Scott doesn't understand, right, what happened to him yet. At this transformation that's beginning, the moment, so he's going to get in the sleigh and they're going to take off. We're going to see more of that later. He's going to put this Santa suit on and he's not going to understand what happens. And in the film, he thinks it's a crazy dream, right? He's like, when I get back in the morning, I'm getting a CAT scan, right? So he's like, he thinks like the world has just gone mad. He doesn't believe that he's now Santa Claus and he surely doesn't act like Santa Claus. He's still mostly his old self, but the transformation has begun. He's wearing the Santa clothes. Right? I need a volunteer, right? Brooklyn, come here. Come here. You're all right. Come on, Brooklyn. Everybody welcome Brooklyn. She doesn't know she's doing this. Yeah. Hey, Brooklyn, how was camp this week? Was it amazing? Yeah. All right, come on out here so you can see everybody. So, Brooklyn, I got, like, this is my sweatshirt. I love this one. You're wearing a sweatshirt. You want to put that on? There you go. Okay, thank you. Thanks for participating. How's that fit? It's big, right? It doesn't like feel like you're just gonna wear that to school. Come, it's like your new fit for fall. No. Come on. Like this is like Costco dad swag. It's amazing. You don't feel good in that, right? But sometimes, right, when we begin our journey with Jesus, like we begin to put on Jesus, it feels like it doesn't fit. Right? Like it feels like, this doesn't belong on me. Like I'm not, like it's baggy, the arms are too long, right? You're like, what am I doing up here on stage? Pastor Sean just told me to get here. And I'm like, I don't even know why I'm here, right? And but it doesn't quite fit, right? And sometimes if you've begun your journey with Jesus, you might feel like, man, I don't feel like very Jesus-y. Like there's a lot of my old self that's still there. And I feel like I'm wearing ill-fitting clothes. Thank you, Brooklyn. You're good. Give it up for Brooklyn, everybody. And this is a lot like what happens to Scott Calvin, right? He puts on these clothes and they don't quite fit. But in fact, the Apostle Paul in Romans chapter 13, he says, clothe yourselves with the Lord Jesus Christ. Right? We put on the clothes of Jesus. Scott puts on the clothes of Santa Claus and something begins to change in him. And we clothe ourselves. We put the clothes of Jesus on us. And he says, do not think about how to gratify the desires of the flesh. So there's this different way that we begin to live when we put on the Jesus clothes. And our goal as Christians is to be people who not just follow Jesus, but become like Jesus. To have our hearts and our minds and our attitudes and our behaviors and our desires all be a reflection of Jesus Christ. Like we're talking about a full person transformation. And the problem is, we talk about this a lot, is you can't do that on your own, right? We have to keep trusting in Jesus. We say keeping our feet pointed towards Jesus, allowing the Holy Spirit to do a work in us, that we are actually changed from the inside out. Now, Scott, in the movie, he's still living his old life, right? He's going to work, he's doing laundry, still being kind of mean and obnoxious, not really caring about people, but he's changing, Like there's something that's happening in him, and it's getting a little more difficult to continue to do the old things, right? Maybe you've had your life transformed by Jesus Christ, right? And you kind of have one foot in both worlds, and you're like, this is not very comfortable, right? I used to be this way, but now I'm this way, but I still kind of want to be that way, but I really don't want to be that way, but I don't know quite how to live this way, right? Maybe, have you been there before? Right? And this is what's happening in Scott's life. Like he's changing, right? He's growing a Santa beard and he shaves it all off really fast and he looks back in the mirror and it grows right back, right? And he's gaining weight and he's craving milk and cookies and he's in this in-between space where he's beginning to look like Santa and want the things that Santa wants, but also still carrying his old way of life. And eventually, like, it just becomes too much. And he's like, something is seriously wrong with me. And he goes to the doctor, right? And he's like, doctor, you gotta show me what's wrong with me because I'm becoming a different person. It's kind of funny what happens. I'll have you take a look at the clip.
Scott, time is up. Get over here and check your pulse.
All right. Okay. Well, nuts. Oh, no, your pulse is great. I don't know, Scott. You're as healthy as a horse.
Yeah. Clydesdale.
Okay, look, so what? You put on a little weight.
A little weight? Does this look like a little weight to you?
Weight can fluctuate from year to year.
Fluctuate? You make it sound like I'm retaining water. I've gained 45 pounds in a week. Pete, what's happening to me?
What's your diet like?
Milk and cookies.
Really?
But I don't finish all the milk.
Well, then there is your problem. Just try to cut back on the sweets, okay? Anything else?
Yeah. How fast does hair grow? Facial hair.
What?
I shave in the morning, in the afternoon, I look like this.
Well, it could be a hormonal imbalance.
That would explain the mood swings.
Mood swings?
Yeah, but look at my hair, it's turning gray.
Oh, it's middle age, buddy, it happens. And with that body, you should be thankful you have hair. Look, if it bothers you, you can dye it, and you should dye it. just kidding. Okay, up with the shirt. Let's take a listen to the old ticker. Whoa. Okay.
Oh, it's cool.
You see, when Jesus makes us new, right, our old habits, our old identity, the way we acted towards others, the way we saw the world, it doesn't hold quite the same sway on us. That God begins to change our desires. God begins to change our hearts, the center of who we are. Did you catch the song, right, that Scott's heart was beating out when the doctor listened to it? Anybody? Hey, there you go, jingle bells, right? Yeah, right? Scott's heart, right, is being transformed. His heart is literally singing a new song. There's something that's happening in him that his whole being is being transformed. And when we give our hearts to Jesus, choose to follow him, Jesus gives us a new heart. That's what the scripture says. One that has a desire to serve Jesus. One that has a desire to love Jesus and to serve and love other people. In the story of the Bible, you can go back to the Old Testament. And there were people in the Old Testament that were called prophets. And a prophet in those days was somebody that spoke for God to the people. And there was a really weird one, and his name is Ezekiel, all right? So cool name, weird prophet. And he has these weird visions, sees these crazy images and all these things. But he has this vision about what God is going to do when Jesus comes. And it's in Ezekiel chapter 36, verse 26. And it says, I will give you, this is God speaking through the prophet, I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit in you. I will remove from you your heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh. That means a heart that's tender towards the things of God. And I will put my spirit in you and move you to follow my decrees and be careful to follow them. Like all these things, you will notice here, this is about all these things. Is there anywhere that says you should do this? Right? You need to do this. Or it says God's going to do this. Like, there's nothing that Scott did except put the Santa suit on and the transformation began to happen, right? And when we choose to follow Jesus, the Holy Spirit begins to do a work in us. God will put a new heart in us. God will put his spirit in us. And in our heart, Jesus gives us a heart that begins to sing his song, right? Just as Scott's heart began to sing Santa's song, right, in Jingle Bells, Jesus puts a heart in us that wants what he wants. Jesus begins to put a heart in us that loves what he loves. And just like Scott Calvin, right, there are pieces of my old life that I still recognize, right, that are still at work there, but I'm being transformed. I'm a new creation, right? My heart is singing a new song, and there are things that need to be changed in me still, but I begin to want what God wants. And sometimes we need people to remind us that we're new creation, that we're no longer who we were. Anybody have a friend that always just brings out the best in them, right? That you're like, man, when I get around this friend, they just always remind me of who I really want to be. And sometimes we get stuck into believing that we'll never change, right? We all have friends that drag us back into that old way also, right? Scott has this experience too. And in fact, he goes to see the elves at the North Pole, and he's like, I'm out of here. And they're like, no, you're Santa Claus. You really are him. And they have to convince him that he is Santa Claus, that it's not a dream. And this is one of the reasons that we gather, right, together on Sundays, right, because we need to be reminded that we're the people of God. You need to be reminded that you're a new creation. This is one of the reasons you gather in your groups. We need people to look us in the eye and sometimes remind us that we're not the same person anymore. Our practice for these 2 weeks is the practice of community and simply the habit of gathering. Right? We're going to hang out at a party at the park afterwards, not because we think it's fun and we want to just, you know, it is fun, but we want to be together. We see the value of being together. The reason we gather for worship and we gather in groups because we believe it's a practice that reminds us of who we are in Jesus Christ. Right? The community helps us to remember and sometimes believe that in Christ, you're a new creation. That in Christ, I'm a new creation. I'm no longer that old person. Yeah, there's still remnants, right? I still feel like the clothes don't fit quite exactly right, right? But I am changing and I'm becoming more like Jesus every day. In this last clip that we're going to see, we're going to see an encounter that Scott has with a little girl on his first night as Santa Claus, right? And he's still the full Scott Calvin. He's wearing the suit, right? But he's not acting really like Santa Claus. And then it's going to skip ahead, right, to a year later when he goes back to visit the same girl. And Scott is a different person. You see, as we follow Jesus, right, it's a lifetime of transformation. My hope and my prayer is that I'll be a different Sean a year from now than I am today. Right? My hope and my prayer for you is that you'll be a different person a year from now than you are today, because Jesus continues to do that work in us as we keep our feet pointed towards him. We surely are transformed. As we daily clothe ourselves with Christ, we become more and more like him. I want you to see the difference in Scott's life as he embraces his new identity as Santa Claus. Take a look. Last one.
No, no,
no! Hold it! There's no chimney here! Can you hear me? No chimney, all right?
Looking good, Dad!
You have got to be kidding.
Come on, look at the size of this thing.
Oh!
Santa?
Scott Calvin.
How come your clothes are so baggy?
Because Santa is watching his saturated fats.
How come you don't have a beard?
Because I shaved. Do you want this doll or not? Go back to sleep.
You're supposed to drink the milk.
Look, I am lactose intolerant, and I am just about this close to taking all those presents back up the chimney with me. Supposed to drink that milk. Shut your eyes. No!
You're fatter this year.
Well, thank you very much. You've grown too. You're a very good girl this year. But I want you to go back to sleep, okay? I think the milk's a little sour.
It's soy milk.
Huh?
You said you're lactose intolerant.
I did say that, didn't I? Thanks for remembering. Go to sleep. Merry Christmas, Sarah.
Merry Christmas, Santa.
Scott looks and acts more like Santa a year later. He's loving. He's kind. He's compassionate, right? And when we put our trust in Jesus, right, when you put your trust in Jesus and you allow him to have your heart, he gives us a new heart and new desires. And when the Spirit is in us, right, it makes us more and more like Jesus. We become more loving. We become more joyful. We become more at peace. We become more patient. We become more kind. The fruit of the Spirit begin to flow out of us. Scott's a different person, right, a year later than he was the year before. The Scriptures tell us that therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come. The old is gone. The new is here. This is the good news of Jesus. And then it goes on, and I don't have this on the screen, but it says, all this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That means just like Scott has a job to do now as Santa Claus, you have a job to do as a Christ follower, to go into the world and help the world know Jesus. Like Scott, we get a new heart and a new mission representing Jesus to the world. And like Scott, it is both in a moment and slowly over time. So I want to pray with you this morning, and I would just encourage you. You know, it's a silly film, and it may seem like, oh, what are we doing today? But there's an opportunity for you to have transformation in your life, and God can use something as simple as a stupid film, all right, to change your life, and to recognize the truth that you can be a new creation in Christ Jesus. So I want to ask you, if we can, I know there's lots of distractions. That's all right. I want to ask you just to bow your heads for a minute. I want to pray for us, and then we're going to get you out of here. Jesus, we know that you've used lesser things in a movie to change someone's life. And we just recognize the truth today that you give us a new heart. When we give our lives to you, you exchange our heart of stone, as the prophet Ezekiel said. You give us a heart of flesh. You put your Spirit in us to help us live in a way that loves and honors you. And God, you don't just leave us alone, but then you make us more and more like Jesus as we trust you. So I just pray for those in the room today. Maybe they've never given their heart to you, Jesus. Scripture says if we confess with our mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in our heart that he died and rose again, God, that we're saved. And so I just say, if that's you today, that you might just say, Jesus, I don't, the Santa suit feels weird, the clothes feel weird, but I want to give you a try. I want to give you my heart. And maybe today you gave your life to Jesus, but you still feel like you're living more in the kind of old self than the new self, and you just need to say again, God, like I need to trust you. I need to point my feet to you. And so I point my feet back to you again today, Jesus. Make me more like you. Make me less like my old self. Make me a new creation. Scripture tells us that God who began a good work in us is faithful to bring it to completion. That God will do it. It may not be tomorrow, may not be the next day, but more and more over time, he'll transform you and make you more like Jesus. And so God, I thank you for your faithful work. I thank you that it's not up to me to be good enough, but you do that transforming work. And so we trust you today. And Lord, for those in the room that maybe today, for the first time, they confessed that you are Lord, or maybe they decided to turn their feet back towards you, God, I pray you'd surround them with people that remind them of who they are in Christ, that we're never meant to go alone, that we do this together. I thank you, God, that we are a church and becoming a church that more and more looks like that. So we give you praise. We pray all these things in Jesus' name.